The Bottom Line is a podcast that links lessons learned from sports, business, and life. This is your host, Ben Rogers, and I am the founder of TBL Coaching, LLC, which is a professional accountability and coaching service that encourages discipline and preparation among leaders. We hold our clients accountable to executing action plans to accomplish their goals and to become more efficient with time. The Bottom Line is the belief that practice is more important than the game, and by implementing discipline habits, more time is created to be present with and positively impact others. With practice and preparation, your game becomes easier and more enjoyable. Guests on the podcast include coaches, athletes, educators, and other leaders. Today, I'm joined by Coach Russ Huseman, the head football coach at the University of Richmond. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate your time early in the morning on a Friday. I know we've got a lot of things going on in the world right now that we're trying to deal with, but
pretty nutty world out there right now.
We'll make it through. Why don't we start with just something real simple, just kind of a quick bio on you from your perspective from you.
I've been a head coach. This is my 11th year, 8 years at Chattanooga, the past three at the University of Richmond. I think I've been in this profession 37 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, long time. You know, a lot of ups, a lot of downs. Hopefully if you stay in this profession long enough, you got more ups than you got downs.
That's
and I've been fortunate to be able to do what I do what I love for a long time. It's been an amazing run, and still got a lot of time left to continue to do this.
Good for you. The best is yet to come, right?
I hope so.
What made you get into coaching in the first place?
I kind of idolized the coaches that I grew up. I went to Muller High School in Cincinnati, which was a pretty traditional powerhouse back in the day, and Jerry Faust was the head coach, and probably a lot of people don't know who he was, but he ultimately left Muller and went to Notre Dame, and just the coaches that I've been around I went to school at Chattanooga, and I love the coaches there, and just thought, man, that's a pretty cool deal to be able to coach and to go out there every day and put shorts on and a hat and blow a whistle and coach. And I kind of knew early on when I got to Chattanooga that's the direction I wanted to go.
Sure. Very good. Did you, as a football player, did you find that leading was a natural ability of yours?
For me personally, I don't know if I was a great leader. I was a good teammate. And, you know, whether that translates into being a good leader or not, but I know I was a good teammate, you know, all the way across the board. Leadership skills that you come across, you know, are learned as you go, and you make mistakes and you fix them and you kind of do what's best. But I love playing sports, love being around it.
Right. Very good. As far as your, I guess, your coaching history, and I'm sure I'm going to mess some of this up, but I'm trying to make sure I remember the big points. I think it was William & Mary for a while.
Yes.
Then somewhere else, then Richmond, then head job at Chattanooga, then back to Richmond as the head coach. Is that right?
Yeah, I didn't think everybody would want to hear about my life story.
We don't got to get into the full life story, but just make sure I understand the
I started as a graduate assistant in South Carolina and then went to William & Mary for 13 years and worked for Jimmy Laycock.
Awesome.
Tremendous, tremendous person. Taught me so much about how to be a football coach. And then I went to the University of Memphis for 6 years loved my time there, and then came back to Richmond as a defensive coordinator under Dave Clawson, who I admire and I think is one of the best in the business. And then got the job at Chattanooga, head coaching job at Chattanooga for 8 years, and then back here for three.
That's awesome.
And that's quick.
That's in a
nutshell.
That's perfect. Well, I certainly appreciate you giving us the breakdown, and congratulations on all the steps up. That's awesome. What your first head coaching job was at Chattanooga, right?
Yes.
First day on the job, what's the first thing you implement with the players and with your coaching staff?
Well, you know, it's, I know people hear this all the time, but it's what culture do you want to build?
Sure.
You know, when we took over Chattanooga, they were really bad. They'd come off a 1-11 year, and year before that, maybe 2-9. Hadn't had winning season, hadn't been to the playoffs in a long time, you know, we had to, you know, I assembled a staff, and normally when you take a head coaching job, I don't think your first staff is, and if especially a first head coaching job, is really the best staff you can assemble. It was a good staff, but but we wanted to build a culture. We wanted to give the guys hope in some capacity that we could win. You know, if you kind of just follow, you know, if you just follow us as far as, you know, what we're asking you to do, how we're asking you to do it, you know, you can win. And they were tired of losing, I think. And, you know, it was an easy change to make. We actually went 6-5 our first year there, from 1-11. The transition was a lot smoother than I'd anticipated. They bought in,
sure.
They listened, and we worked them hard and it paid dividends. And once you get some success and you see how that success came about,
right.
It's pretty easy to continue,
yeah.
and let's build on this and
sure.
continue the success.
It's you said something in there where you said, you tell the player, if you do what we ask you to do, these little things are going to end up paying off, and which will then show on the scoreboard, showing success, victory. You go from 1-11 to 6-5, and obviously it pays off. What are some of the little non-negotiables that you have as a head coach that you want to implement with the program? I know a lot of small businesses, leaders, teams, and anything, they always have a couple of things that they're really keen on to make sure everybody's committed to.
Oh, well, back then, I think it's very small things. You know, just accountability was always big. You know, as far as accountability to your teammates, to the academic component, to the coaching staff. I think back then, you know, I didn't do a great job of just overly building relationships with our players and our team and our coaches. And I've learned, you know, here since being a head coach, you know, those relationships need to be built. You know, the trust between the players and the coaches has to be there. But I'd say, you know, just little things like being on time. You know, we talked about, and I had a list of little things, and I can't remember all, I got them in my office, but, you know, I had a list of 16 little things that I thought were important, you know, to building a program, to being better individuals. And, you know, one little thing was, let's keep the locker room clean.
Right.
You know, how hard is that? How hard is it to make sure you're picking up your towels, you know, and picking up your stuff behind you and getting your shoes off the floor so the guy can come in and vacuum in the evening time and make it easier on him. You know, how hard is it if you're walking down the hallway and you see a piece of paper? Why not just bend over, pick it up, throw it away? Probably makes you feel a little bit better. Why say, well, that janitor or that custodian's going to come through and grab that thing anytime? You know, being on time. I just so many different things that were really, that sometimes going to class.
Right.
You know, I got to be in the class, coach, and so, you know, I missed a couple of class, but I've still got to be in the class. Well, you know, that's not the point here. You know, the point is you should be going to class. We've asked you to go to class, and so there's just a lot of little things that build up in my mind that help you be a better person. And they're not hard to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I know, and I still to this day live by little rules and little things that my head coach gave me in high school. As simple as, you know, when we're going through stretches, you start behind the line and you finish through the line.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh,
in the weight room, you're not going to sit down. You stand up, and if you're tired, you put your hands over your head, right? Four buckles. Like, all of those things are little discipline habits that were instilled early to where now, like, if I'm at the gym, I'm going to run all the way through until the coach in the class says, okay, it's time to slow the pace down or whatever, you know, so you kind of finish through the whistle. So I think that, I guess that mindset, accountability, and discipline does pay off dividends as you go, right?
But, you know, all those little things were non-really football related. They had nothing
right.
to do with football.
Mm-hmm.
They had nothing to do with whether you can tackle a guy, whether you can block a guy, whether you can catch a pass. They were all, you know, very small, and I don't want to say life skills because they're really not life skills, but just small things that make you a better human being, what makes you a better teammate,
absolutely,
what makes you a better leader, which makes you a better football player.
Sure, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Over your career, you've coached with many different coaches, and I'm sure some that you would consider role models, much like Jimmy Laycock, for example. Who are maybe a handful of coaches that you believe that have impacted you greatly, and how? And feel free to focus on one or two of them.
Oh, Well, obviously Jerry Faust, and again, I'm not sure how many of the listeners would even know who Jerry Faust is. You know, I didn't see that twinkle in your eye when I mentioned his name, so you probably have no idea who he is.
I'm going to be honest with you, I do not.
So, but, you know, back in the heyday, we were really good and mythical national champs in football, and he was a tremendous football coach, and I just... I looked up to him as like almost a godlike figure as you walk through the halls of Moeller High School, but the guy, you know, he was so positive, he was upbeat, he made you feel like $1 million every time he saw you, you know, as a lowly, you know, freshman DB, you know, whether he had time for you or not, you know, he made you feel, you know, important, sure. And it was pretty cool to be around him. You know, I played for Joe Morrison, and probably a lot of people don't know who he is, but he played for the New York Giants for many years and at Chattanooga. You know, he was just such a player's coach. And we won at Chattanooga, and then he was a head coach at South Carolina, and he brought me on as a GA for a couple of years. I think the biggest, the person that helped me more in my coaching career was Jimmy Laycock. You know, when you take your first job, I don't think people realize how much they don't know. You know, everybody thinks, well, I know this. I you know, I'm really smart. I play DB. I can coach this. But until you take a job, a full-time job, you don't know anything.
Right.
And he taught me how to coach, how to be organized. You know, how to handle people. You know, that was the young years of my coaching, and you know, he formulated my thoughts on what kind of coach I wanted to be, and what did I wanted, how I wanted to coach kids and things like that. So, I think Coach Laycock was incredible, and then the other one was Dave Clawson when I came back here as a defensive coordinator.
And just for people who don't know, Jimmy Laycock was with William & Mary for many years? Forever. Yeah. And Dave Clawson's current head coach at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, continue. Dave Clawson.
And so I kind of had a feeling that I wanted to be a head coach, you know, and everybody aspires to be a head coach. And so at the time when I was here with him, you know, I picked his brain on a lot of things, you know, as far as and I observed, you know, what as I see him do things and how he handled the team, you know, and he was fantastic. And I thought, yeah, man, I need to. So I started writing down everything, and it was writing down everything that would be, you know, that would give me an opportunity to be a head coach and be a successful head coach. And that's kind of when I started, you know, putting down things that I thought he did great, things that I said, oh man, this happened, he kind of handled, like, I don't know if, you know, what I would have done in that situation. And so for 5 years, well, I was here with him for 4 years, but, you know, for those 4 years, you know, I started to build, you know, my resume in my mind and on paper as to, all right, if I get a job interview, here's how I'm going to approach it. Here's how I'm going to go ahead and take that job, and here's what I'm going to do moving forward. And so I would say becoming a head coach, you know, Dave Clawson had a lot to do with that. Jimmy Laycock had, you know, a lot to do with me becoming just a football coach.
Sure. It sounds like, I mean, quickly came to mind as far as your four role models. Jerry Faust kind of taught you a little about a positive attitude, being upbeat all the time. From Joe Morrison, you understood how to be more of a player's coach, relationships first, all of those things. Jimmy Laycock, William & Mary, organized, being able to handle people, all of those types of things, and then get into actually being a football coach, right? Because you didn't know a lot when you first started. And then, of course, Dave Clawson, how to be the head guy.
I guess that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
That's my life.
Yeah, that's good. That's
35
perfect.
Seconds.
That's perfect. Well, you certainly have an opportunity to be impacted by a lot of people in the business that you're in. You mentioned at the beginning that you considered yourself a good teammate. What makes a good teammate?
Oh, you know, being accountable to the other people on your team. You know, I just kind of, you know, if I'm just thinking about our football team and guys that I think are good teammates, you know, they're there for them. You know, they pick them up when they're down. It's team before themselves. I truly believe that. And you know, I can remember when I was in college, never thinking, well, I want to get three interceptions. I played DB. I want to get three interceptions. I want to do this. I want to do this. You know, the only thing I ever thought about was, man, I want our team to win. I hope our team wins. You know, I hope I, you know, and probably this was so negative, you know, and I was so, you know, is, you know, please don't let me do anything to hurt the team.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it probably should be, what can I do to help the team, you know? And but I was kind of on track there because it was, you know, it was about the team. It wasn't about me.
That's right.
And so, you know, I just wanted our team to do so well. And I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize that. And I see guys that you know, with our football team right now, that the most important thing is, you know, is to be a good teammate and how can I help us win football games? And that's the most important. How can I help you in the weight room get better and encourage you and work with you and bring people along? You know, I see our guys now and I feel so good about our football team right now. You know, just guys bringing guys with them.
Right.
And that's important. You know, it's easy for you to just say, oh, I'm gonna go get an extra little lift in, or I'm gonna go get an extra stretch in, or I'm gonna go into the cold tub. The true leaders and the people that kind of got a clue are the ones that are gonna grab, you know, that one. Come on, let's go in here and lift, or let's get an extra lift in, let's get a stretch in, and then you start grabbing one, you start to grab two, you start to grab three. So, you know, it's. I think those guys are doing that are turning into really good leaders.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The mission of what I'm doing with this is to build an army of disciplined leaders. We want to take one person and bring them along, right, and keep adding these people into a big group of people. And I just think that's great. I'm sure you've heard of it. Are you a reader at all?
Oh, yeah.
So The Ideal Team Player, have you read that book or heard about it?
I have not.
Great book. He talks about the three qualities being humble, hungry, and smart, and half of its fable, half of its application. You would love it based on the teammate stuff, but just curious if you read that. Obviously, I'm not ingrained in the day-to-day of everything that you do, but when you read Coach Huseman's bio, what you see is that he won a national championship in 2008. I'm sure that the answer to this is somewhere focused around, well, every other team kind of had the same opportunity, some things fell into place, this, that, and the other, but was there something different about that specific team? Which, by the way, defense coordinator that year, I believe, best defense in the country.
Thanks for that. I think that team, and why they're so unique, obviously we had really good players. I mean, you're not going to win without good players, but you can lose with good players too. And I knew that team was on a mission, and that team, it was about them and how they were going to handle themselves. And they set the ground rules. They set the curfews. They set the team rules. They held each other accountable. It was about them. And, you know, we just kind of had to put them in a decent position to compete. But, you know, that's one of the best teams I've ever been around because, you know, they didn't care who was coaching them. It was they were going to make sure that they took care of business. And pretty unique group of guys there.
Was there a specific moment during that season where you thought to yourself, man, this could be the team that takes the entire thing home?
No, it was a scary proposition. We had lost to James Madison. Yikes. On an 80-yard
punt return. I was in Richmond, right? Yeah. I was in the city, Old City Stadium.
Yeah, you remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With 18 seconds to go in the game, put us 4-3. That was two league losses, and we were heading to UMass, and they were the number 10 team in the country. And one more loss puts us even out of the playoffs. We don't even get to go to the playoffs, and we went up there and beat them. And I think at that moment, you know, I thought, wait, we can go and we can win. And I remember, I remember talking to Coach London and just saying, "Coach, we can run the table here, man." And we ran the table, and but I do think, you know, I do think that, our players going to UMass, it's a tough place to play up there, and you know, beating the number 10 team in the country at the time was something I think brought them back and said, wait a minute, now we do have a good team. We lost on a punt return. You know, we had lost to, I can't remember who else we lost to that year, to be honest with you, but it was the second conference.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, second conference loss, and we didn't even win the league that year and went to the playoffs and won a national championship.
It's wild the way that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess two notes on that. I think that a lot of the championship mindset is in how you respond to some sort of loss or failure. I think everybody experiences that along the way when they're on some sort of championship run or attaining some goal, right? And you mentioned Coach London. I'll remember forever his three rules of go to class, show class, treat people with dignity and respect. So I'm sure that had a little bit to do with the program as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mike came in and did a great job. You know, I think, you know, with him, it was in some way, because we went to semifinals the year before,
right,
and lost
yeah.
to App State.
Yep.
We had a good team.
I remember that.
And, you know, I don't know if Mike takes credit for that football season. I do not take any credit for that football season. We had great players, great kids, man. And it was not even and a lot of them are still in Richmond now, and I hope they listen to this. They won the national championship. I had very little to do with it, and Coach London had very little to do with it. None of the coaches. We kind of steered the ship a little bit,
right?
And these guys, you know,
showed
these
up
guys,
with your whistle, and they went to work.
And they had, you know, they held each other accountable, and they played.
That's
and
awesome.
So, you know, it's. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Mike would say the same thing. It was a great group of guys.
Is there one or two leaders on that team that come to mind that you feel like really took ownership of being the captain or the leader of that squad?
Yeah, there were quite a few players there. Even the ones, like, the, you know, they had the captains and they voted captains. And actually, you know, one guy, Will Healy, who's now the head coach at UNC Charlotte.
That's right.
And you know, he was voted captain. He was backup quarterback, came back for his fifth year, and knew he was going to back up Eric Ward, who was a tremendous player, came back. And the captains on that team were really good, with Will included. But I see the other ones that weren't captains that did a great job of Colin McGonaghy, who played linebacker for us. A couple of our tight ends, I just remember those guys vividly being such good leaders. Some offensive linemen that weren't captains were really good leaders. And you could just see that they were a part of it. Even though they weren't named captain, you know, they were a part of this process and pushed them pretty good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, congratulations, obviously, on that accomplishment of winning the national championship. But I think it's really interesting to see where you have a team that accomplishes so much on paper, yet it's not really the coaches, like you said, steered the ship a little bit, but with inside the program, you have good team players that are holding each other accountable. I think that's important for anybody.
Unbelievable, yeah. I mean, if you can get a team, you know, that's going to hold each other accountable in the right ways, you know, you can do it in the wrong ways,
sure.
You know, you could, but if you hold them accountable in the right ways, I think you're on the way to having a really successful football team.
That's right. Well, it's like earlier you said that obviously building a culture is good. Every team has a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Which type of culture do you want to build?
Right.
And we're wrapping up here soon, Coach, but you've accomplished a lot over the 37 years of coaching. Is that what
I don't even know if it's 37. I just kind of
a few decades, something like that.
I kind of guesstimate. It could be 38, could be 36.
What over the years, and this might be a difficult question to answer. There might be more than one answer to it, but what are you most proud of?
The national championship. If you're asking about as far as team goals or, you know, things that happened to me, or, you know, the national championship was huge. I think our first Southern Conference championship at Chattanooga was huge because of, you know, it took us, I think, 4 years being there before we could get it. They hadn't won a championship in a long time. Pretty rewarding, you know, to see our players, how important it was for them. You know, I've been a part of a lot of good football teams and around a lot of great players and coaches, but I do keep it in perspective too. I mean, you know, I never once thought I knew it all. I never once acted like I knew it all. I knew it's a player-driven profession.
That's right.
If you don't have players, it's hard to win.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, if you got just good enough players, now you can. If you got good players, you can make them better and make them, you know, some of them great. But if you don't have good players, and the other team's got good players, you know, you probably don't have much of a shot.
Right.
You know, out of 10 times, if you get lucky once. And so I've always believed that, you know, it's the group that we work with. It's our football players that are the most important thing and the reason why you win football games.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's like any other small group or team, you got to have the right people with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to deploy the dependables. I think I read that from a Bill Belichick something. It was talking about deploying the dependables and everything that you do. What's
and
that?
Delegate, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, whether it's delegate to your coaches, but ultimately you're delegating to your players,
yeah, that's right,
to perform, and that's what it ultimately gets down to. That's where the production comes.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, you delegate it. And you know, when I first started coaching, it was hard. I mean, when I was head coach, you know, I had my thumb on everything. It was constant, and it was hard for me to delegate. And you know, as you move forward and – you know, you start to delegate and trust, and then even to the point where you delegate responsibility to your players, and that's when we started to get good at Chattanooga, is when, you know, kind of everybody, you know, took their role and played well, and we won.
That's awesome. What's next for you, Coach? National championship at Richmond, is that the goal? We feel like you've locked in at Richmond for a while. Any other future goals and plans for yourself?
No, I think right now, for me, it's just to get Richmond football where it needs to be and where it should be and where it's been in the past. And,
sure.
And, you know, we've we haven't done a good enough job. We haven't won enough games at Richmond right now. And we should be competing for championships. You know, this year we were right in the thick of things till the end. But, you know, we should be in playoffs at the University of Richmond. And so, you know, in my mind, I've underachieved. But we're going to get better. You know, we're doing so many things. We're actually doing a lot of leadership classes.
Very good.
And you know, we've done mental skills classes with them. And so we're trying to, you know, I think we've got good enough players. Now it's let's get the mind right.
That's right.
And making sure that we're leading correctly, that we're positive in everything we do and in every approach that we make. So I mean, there's just a lot of things we're doing outside just walking out there and blocking and tackling and running.
Sure.
I mean, the mental part of it is huge for us.
Yeah, I think any kind of growth and development that anybody can do, football players, employees, leaders, whatever, any kind of personal growth and development, mindset training along the way is awesome.
Huge, yeah.
And maybe they, maybe your players, if they want to hear your voice anymore, they can listen to this for a little bit of leadership training. What do you think about that?
you know, I'm trying to. They'll be excited to get back. Obviously, we're out of school
right
now, and all the things that are occurring right now, and you know, I think we'll get a great feel for what kind of football team we got, because you know they may be away from campus for 4 or 5 weeks here, and you know our message, you know, our message to them was we got to come back better when we left. And we'll learn a lot about our team, our players, our individuals, you know, and what kind of effort and work they put into it. And, you know, and I've already talked to some of our senior leaders about they need, even though I'm not standing across from you or in the locker room with you, they got to lead. They got to continue to lead. And that's by, you know, getting on the phone with some of these guys and communicating to them. And, hey, what'd you do today? How'd it go today? You know, and so the leading doesn't stop just because you're on your own over there in Northern Virginia and you're just going into your high school weight room and lifting. You know, we're gonna continue to lead, and our goal is to come back better than we left for spring break.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, that's
if you obviously I don't have a magic eight ball here, but the championship team, the first thing you said is their teammates that held each other accountable, right? And it was all about them. So if your team this year can do it, maybe we have the writing on the wall. Yeah. Who knows?
This will be an important stretch, and so it's strange times right now.
Absolutely.
Ooh, but it's nuts.
Could define the program for the better, though. That would be good.
I think so, yeah.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 019, an interview with Richmond head football coach Russ Huseman. Coach, I really appreciate your time. You got any last words for the listeners?
Oh, no. I can just say we love Hanover.
There you go. Appreciate that very much.
We love Hanover. We love living up here. My son loves going to Hanover High School, and you know, we're big. We jump right in.
Well, I personally very much appreciate that, and I know there's gonna be a lot of.
Oh yeah, but a lot of people are gonna be hearing it all over.
That's
the place.
Right. That's right.
Well, for you Hanover people, we love you.
That's right. Well, Coach, thanks again very much. I appreciate it. To the listeners, please remember to share the Bottom Line Podcast with your average friends you think would find some benefit. I appreciate your support. The mission of TBL Coaching is to build an army of disciplined leaders who are present with and positively impact their relationships and their community. Signing off, he is the head coach, Russ Huseman. I'm your host, Ben Rogers. This is The Bottom Line, and I'll talk to you next time.